What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cannabis Cure UK Freedom News Podcast. I'm Greg. I'm here with Johnny Lyon. What's up, my man?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, pretty good. We got a bit of a packed show, I think. We've had a few news stories in the last week. Again, got behind, couldn't get on with the podcast and keep them up to date. But you know how it is. Being apart, doing our own things, and frightening freedom in our own different ways, I guess.
Yeah, man.
You've got your own thing going on as well. I've got everything going on at the moment in the UK. We've got normals launched, the UK CSCs are doing more meetings, and I've been sending out a few t-shirts and jars and whatnot, travelling around a lot. I went to a cannabinoid conference up in Manchester and then popped over to see my man in Sheffield to have a bit of a session in the evening, run a little bit of Full Melt Bubble. It was good, you know, yeah, a bit of trim on the side, let's face it. Anyway, the stories this week we're going to look at are just a few that I've come across I thought were appropriate to share. They've got a few people a little bit angry on Facebook, where I've been hanging out for the last few weeks. So, yeah, I know. Right, apparently there is a batch, or there's been batches of contaminated legal highs and cannabis in, we're Durham, yeah, that's about right, around the Middlesbrough area, I think Frank said. There's batches of contaminated cannabis. We picked that up on our website. I'll read the story to you in a bit when we get onto the news section. I did call Frank and check out with them what the story was, so I, you know, what the risks were, and just to get a little bit of an update from what the government's funded drugs advice service has given us. So had a nice little chat there. It was enjoyable. I hope you enjoy it too. We'll be playing that. We're also going to look at the story, Judge Shows Mercy to Middleton Husband Who Grew Cannabis in a Shed to Ease His Wife's Pain. The woman suffering from arthritis was using cannabis to medicate. Her husband was growing it for him at the bottom of the garden. And the police come and investigated a burglary and arrested him for taking care of his wife. We'll look at that story and see if mercy was really given. We're also going to, like I said, we've been doing a lot of touring, me and Clark, and we're going to be heading up to West Midlands Cannabis Community to spend the evening with Rich Smith, who has been running that. He's also part of the Welsh Cannabis Community as well. He's been really busy, getting a lot of work done, so he's arranged a UK CSE meeting, the first local one of the area at Worcester University. Looking well forward to that. We're going to travel up. Got about 20 people coming already, they've said so. So if you are out there, you're in the Worcester area or in the West Midlands, anywhere around, maybe Birmingham, see if we get a few people in cars and drive down there and get more people to the meeting. It'd be absolutely great. Let us know if you're interested. The link will be in the description of the podcast. You can find it on the website. I've written a blog about it, so please make sure you go over and check that out. Got to talk to you about Cardiff, where I've uploaded an hour video to Cannabis Cure TV. Howard Marks and Release are supporting us. Some great speeches on there. Also going to look at what Clark French had to say about BBC Three's free speech programme, where he was invited to Bristol to talk about medicinal cannabis, but ignored. So, Johnny Lyon, what tune have we got for today?
We've got another classic this month.
Oh, yeah?
Coming all the way from Granada, Spain, I believe.
Ooh.
It's by a group called All Day Green.
All Day Green.
The track is titled Smoking Weed.
Very appropriate. Let's get on to that one then. UK. Vete, bye, bye, bye,
fucking weeds, man. Aquí en Andalucía la peña está cultivando.
That was All Day Green, smoking weed. What was he saying, man? Like, he mentioned quite a few strains there. I heard some Jack Herer, California Orange.
Yeah, and Northern Lights, AK-47.
Yeah. Mentioned North, I think. Yeah, cool. All right, well, we like some smoking some weed out there in Granada. I actually got handed a book. I've got that photo album up there with all these sort of like weird mutant cannabis leaves. Yeah, and there's like duck's feet, and like they're all webbed, and there's some like a single leaf, and then they got like a little bit of other leaves coming out. I have to try and upload some pictures to Facebook. I'll do a video of it sometime soon. But he lived in Granada and he had 5,000 cannabis plants on his land. I know, yeah. It's quite ridiculous, isn't it? Like, we're over here and get arrested and potentially put in prison for a shed load of plants. Anyway, we'll head on to that story now. Judge shows mercy to Middleton husband who grew cannabis in his shed to ease wife's pain from arthritis. This one is on the menmedia.co.uk. A pensioner has admitted growing cannabis in a garden shed so that a drug could be used to ease his wife's crippling arthritis. Malcolm Taylor, 66, mixed resin from the plant with butter to give his wife Nina, 61, after conventional drugs failed to alleviate her pain. Police stumbled across his cannabis farm after they investigated a break-in at his house last September. Now, poor guy, he's a victim of crime. He calls the police to look after, you know, to try and resolve that, and he gets arrested. He gets in trouble for growing a plant in his garden. Taylor of Springfield Road, Middleton, was given 120 hours community service after pleading guilty at Bolton Crown Court to growing 42 cannabis plants. Sentencing him, Judge Charles Bloom said this was a substantial yield that in normal circumstances would warrant a custodial sentence. 42 plants. It's 99 is the limit in California if you've got a med card. But it appears that your sole objective was to provide some sort of remedy for your wife's pain outside the normal health service. Normal health service. Well, I'd really like to have a normal health service, you know, NORML. Could give people's the medicine they need and require and want. Sorry, that was just a random thought there. Mr. Taylor said he began growing the drug after seeing a TV program about its medicinal properties. His wife originally faced the same charge, but so we're going to charge a patient as well. But the Crown Prosecution Service dropped the case against her at Rochdale and Bury Magistrates Court last week. Now Mr. Taylor has called for cannabis to be legalised for medicinal purposes. Well said. Mr. Taylor, who used to run Radio Cars taxi firm in Middleton, added, "It was the only thing that helped Nina's problems. We tried acupuncture, which helped for a day or two, but the only thing that did the trick was the cannabis. I first got the idea after I watched a program on television a few years ago, which was going on about the medicinal properties of the drug. it all snowballed from there, and I ended up growing cannabis plants in the shed and then mixing the resin with the butter to give to my wife. The court heard how Mr. Taylor grew 42 plants in two sheds which he had insulated and fitted out with lighting and an airflow system to create the growing conditions the plants need. His wife said he planned to cultivate enough cannabis he said that he planned to cultivate enough cannabis to provide pain relief for his wife for a year. He told the court that he had planned to shut down the operation. The drugs operation, they do make it sound a lot worse than it is. The language they use very much does play on the minds of the public. You might not see it because you're sort of like destigmatized for the whole kind of thing. You understand what cannabis is and you have a different mindset of it. But when they do use these sort of like words, operation and factory, it puts an image in people's heads and they have a negative stigma of cannabis. They make it seem like it's a lot dirtier thing than it is. Little do they know that GW grow 300 tons of it down in Kent. That's an operation. The drug's pain-killing properties have been used by people suffering from conditions as diverse as anorexia and AIDS, cancer and cramps. But it has been illegal, with no exemption for those suffering from medical conditions in the UK since 1928, when the law based on the International Convention of Narcotics of Control came into force. Cannabis was actually stopped being prescribed in 1973 when the 1971 Misuse of Drugs Act came in. They stopped prescribing it a few years later because apparently some doctors were using the prescription as an excuse to give people, prescribe people cannabis. A lot of that argument goes on in some of the med states. California gets a bad rap a lot of the time because you can go in and get a med card for writer's block. But let's face it, in the UK, we do have a National Health Service. We do have a system where we can have doctors prescribing approved medicines. Sativex is cannabis. It is a prescribed and approved medicine. Can we not use herbal cannabis now? GW Pharmaceuticals have published on their blog many times. I saw the words coming out of that one of their executive directors or executive of the board, Stephen Wright, in Manchester on Friday. Cannabis has got no evidence of leading to any mental health problems or cognitive impairments. You know, these are the guys that have been studying it for so long, for since 1998 when they popped their first seed. The research has been going on since 1964, I think, was when they discovered THC. We know about this now. Let's start prescribing it to patients that really do need it, where there is so much evidence that's been published in British medical journals for the last 20 years. Let's, you know, stop putting these people through this, honestly. But it has been illegal with no exemption for those suffering since 1928, we said that. It currently carries a maximum 5-year penalty for possession and 14 years for supply and cultivation. In practice, people convicted for growing cannabis to alleviate a medical condition often go more lightly in court. It's just, it does get to me. I'm a person that could be in this position. I have to use cannabis to treat my Crohn's disease. I don't want to have to go through all the courts and face all that horrible crap like our friend Steampunk's Motorcycles is now. He's tried to argue the free man movement and the judge is calling that he's insane. Really? You're trying to say that a man using a well tried and tested and proved and a method in an argument in court that does win on occasion, that he is a man, a free man who operates under common law. Any man-made laws telling him that he can't grow his cannabis in his home are just nonsensical and unlawful, really. If a judge stands under his oath of honour or practice, like the Queen, like he swears to the Queen, he will not implement any man-made law. It's as simple as that. Isaac Sensi Redeye said of this story on Facebook, this is where I originally saw it, he says, "Oh, such a generous judge, I mean, 120 hours of community service and a criminal record. Such a kind fella." Yeah, right. Positive he didn't get a jail, go to jail, yes, but don't try and dress it up as something it's not. The guy has still been persecuted and is criminalised for easing his wife's pain and suffering. The system is backwards. Couldn't agree more with you, Isaac. If you remember on the last podcast, I did talk about Isaac's story that he wrote up for cannabiscure.co.uk about how much it would cost, or how much GW Pharmaceuticals produced on street value. I think it was 72 million. Again, check it out on the website. All right, we're going to head on to that BBC Newsbeat story now. Cannabis laws need to be changed, says Release Charity, is the title. It's by Dan Whitworth. He's a Newsbeat reporter. Growing small amounts of cannabis should be decriminalised, according to the charity Release. It campaigns for reform of the drug laws, but says arresting people who grow fewer than 12 plants for personal use is a waste of police time and effort. Not to mention money, I'd like to add, but... The Association of Chief Police Officers, APO, admits that tackling small-time growers is not a priority. Medical experts say that it can cause psychological problems and smoking it can lead to diseases like lung cancer. Release, though, wants growing cannabis to be treated like breaking the speed limit or parking on double yellow lines. I just think the whole start is just... It really sort of like tries to undermine what Release are saying and the reasons they're saying it by saying, well, it causes lung cancer. That would make it punishable with a fine, but no criminal record. Lee, who wouldn't give his surname, says that he has 7 cannabis plants in a specially designed growing tent in his spare bedroom. Full of powerful lights, water trays, extractor fans, and with an overpowering smell of strong cannabis, Lee freely admits to breaking the law. It's a way to make ends meet, he admits. I've worked since I was 16, paid my taxes, and now it's the first time I've been unemployed in 15 years. It's just a way of making money because of the cost of fuel, food and living. It's just a way of getting by. Release doesn't believe selling cannabis for money should be decriminalised though. But it does want small-scale growing for personal use or passing the drug on to friends for free to be made a civil offence. Dangerous drug is the next little headline. Neem Eastwood, executive director of the charity, said, "We are criminalising thousands of people every year and that has to end. Small-scale growing of cannabis for personal use or social supply, passing on to friends, means that people are not part of the black market, which is driven by organised crime and violence. Secondly, it reduces the risk of young people being exposed to harder drugs." So if you think about it, if cannabis is sold only by people on the streets and everyone has to go and buy their cannabis from people on the black market, where all other drugs of all other purities and contaminations are available, all different strengths and different levels of harmfulness, that's not really a word, is it? There's going to be an element of risk of people being enticed to buy something else. They haven't got all the information there. They don't know what anything is, really. It's not like a where you go to buy products on the street. It's got no labelling, no anything, no security behind it. I want to know if I'm buying something that I'm trying to get enjoyment from, that it's safe. But where do we start, eh, Johnny? I put up this article, I wrote up a response to this article on my website. BBC Snubs Release to stop arresting home cannabis growers over cancer quip. Please go and check it out there. I've put a fair bit of information in there, and for you to click on, you can see the evidence. You can put it in people's face and say, look, here, this is actually the truth, here's the evidence, this is what the BBC aren't telling you. I think it's... This is just typical of the BBC at the moment. They're showing very sort of strong prejudice against cannabis. Its reputation is being distorted. They come up with lines like "cannabis attacks the brain like a herbal terrorist" in one of their programme, "How Cannabis Works." And I think that was a BBC Three one as well. We'll get onto them in a minute. It's quite odd when you discover that cannabis does protect your brain from neurological diseases like MS, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's. But you know, it's bad for you. It causes cancer. Which again, sorry to say it over and over and over again, but I like going to the WebMD. They did an interview with Dr. Donald Tashkin, and easily, quote that says it, the heaviest marijuana smokers in the study had smoked more than 22,000 joints, while moderately heavy smokers had smoked between 11,000 and 22,000 joints. While the 2-pack-a-day or more cigarette smokers were found to have a 20-fold increase in lung cancer, no elevation in risk was seen for even the very heaviest of marijuana smokers. So you've got no associated rise and a 20-fold increase between the difference in cannabis smoking and tobacco smoking. I would say stop smoking tobacco with your cannabis if you just smoke tobacco with your cannabis. I would stop doing that. Johnny Lyon's laughing at me right now. The more, I know it's expensive at the moment, guys, just GYO. The more tobacco a person smokes, the greater the risk of developing lung cancer and the other cancers of the head and neck. But people who smoked more marijuana were not at increased risk compared to other people who smoked less and who didn't smoke at all. So if you don't smoke anything at all, or you smoke cannabis, you're at a lot less risk of getting cancer than using tobacco. Okay, so where did the BBC get their claim that cannabis causes cancer? I'm not quite sure. They say it causes emphysema as well, but they did another 20-year study, also funded by the US government, over I think Donald Tashkin was part of the same thing, but another analysis shows that cannabis use doesn't impair pulmonary function. So they even showed that people who use cannabis have a better lung function than people who don't use cannabis or smoke at all. Denied, BBC, denied. Oh dearie, dearie, dearie. It's just on and on and on with this reefer madness that's spreading from the Daily Mail over to the BBC. We've also got the schizophrenia study, the Keele University report, which I'm probably mentioning again later when we talk to Frank. The excerpt concludes it pretty well. A model of the association between cannabis use and schizophrenia indicated that instances prevalence of schizophrenia would increase from 1990 onwards. The study cohort comprised of almost 600,000 patients per each year, representing approximately 2.3% of the UK population aged 16 to 44. Between 1996 and 2005, the incidence and prevalence of schizophrenia and psychosis were either stable or declining. In conclusion, this study did not find any evidence of increasing schizophrenia or psychosis in the general population from 1996 to 2005. BBC, access denied. Whoever is doing your research should be fired, and maybe you can employ me. I'd love to have a job where I could tell the truth to masses and masses of people. Again, like I keep saying, GW Pharmaceuticals, why aren't they asked? They're the ones that have been studying this since 1998. They're the ones that know what's going on. They're even using cannabis and trialling it, an extract from cannabis, to treat schizophrenia and psychosis. Oh my days, the complete opposite of what the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, are reporting. Yeah, they're meant to act under a royal charter. They're meant to be fair, unbiased, and unpersuaded by any other source. It sounds like they're doing Frank and towing the government line here. They always finish it with a bang. They've got the quote from a so-called medical expert of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, Dr. Owen Bowden-Jones. I'm sure he makes plenty of money out of the fact that people get put into treatment for cannabis psychosis. But the people that I've spoken to who have been diagnosed with cannabis psychosis don't just use cannabis. They go out drinking, and particularly I know several people that have been hanging around with quite violent people. They smoke cannabis as well, not nearly as much as most of the people I know, but it was part of what they did once or twice a week. They drank more than anything, and they smoked a lot of cigarettes. I'm talking chain-smoked cigarettes. He was diagnosed with cannabis psychosis. Did he tell them how much he was drinking? No. Did he tell them who he was hanging around with? No. Why? It would have got him in trouble, not only with them, with his parents. If he was found to be hanging around with the people that he was, he would have, you know, probably got a lot worse than any drunk had probably given from, I don't know. Maybe that's too much for me to say, but it's a situation in the UK that people are scared to talk about the real things that have happened to him when they're talking about drugs. Another one, my friend who went to school with, he was using cannabis for a very long time, from the age of about 16. He has had a back problem as long as I can remember, and I didn't realise when I was at school that he was using cannabis to treat his back. We all just thought, look at him, druggy. He got kicked out of school in the end because he used cannabis. He went on to become a cocaine dealer. He was met him recently after I got back from America. He'd been taking all sorts of drugs. He'd been, you know, speed, cocaine. He loved ketamine as well. He loved acid as well. I'm not gonna beat down on anything, but he did really he liked to take drugs. He also dealt cocaine, and he liked to do nosedives like Tony Montana into the big piles of it. He said, did he tell that to them in the hospital when he got sectioned after he started flipping out because he thought people were under his bed coming to get him because he might have fucked up with some money somewhere? Yeah, it wasn't the cannabis that caused all those things. It was the situation that he was in because drugs are able to be sold on the back market. He was able to buy cocaine at £400 an ounce and sell it for £900 an ounce, buy himself a nice pair of trainers, and then go and buy another ounce. You know, God, what are the government doing? They're leaving this open to everyone. He said he cut it with things, and that it was probably already cut when he got it. He doesn't care. He was making money. He was getting it off of his face. He got into a bit of a problem. That problem has now been blamed on cannabis. He doesn't want to touch cannabis again. He knows that it was the cocaine, though, and he knows that cocaine will get out of his system within 2 days if he's tested. So, when you've got psychiatrists telling you that people have got cannabis psychosis, let's just think. They get diagnosed with cannabis psychosis, they have to go in for treatment, that treatment costs money, that money goes in their pockets, and they get paid to carry on saying cannabis causes psychosis when you've got all the evidence suggesting the otherwise. And when I say evidence, I'm talking about science and research.
Claim that I sense him with planting, but I'm an adi dani nadi juggling. I feel rumors of war. Please, Mr. Apisan, let go me hand. You don't know me and you don't understand. You see me flashing a Chris Rental. So you take that me a criminal. Rumors that spreading. Claim that I sent him me planting. But I'm an adi dani nadi juggling. I feel rumors of one. Rumors of one. I keep attention to nice of the place. We buy no flicker and red off them face. Make man and man have money to spend. And all the youth them know me and them friend. Rumors them spreading. Claim that I sense in me planting. But I'm an adi dani nadi juggling. I feel rumors of one. One. Don't matter what kind of jewel me wear. Caught me fancy, no have no tear. Shoes cost a few hundred a year. I me have money all through the year. I rumors them spreading. Babes that I seen see me planting. But I'm an adi dani nadi juggling. I feel rumors of one. Rumors of one. Propaganda. Rumors of war.
Love.
Can't stop it. No way.
A rumor has been spreading.
Claim that I sense in me planting. But I'm an adi dani nadi juggling. I feel rumors of war. Please, Mr. Officer, let go of me hand. You don't know me and you don't understand. You see me flashing at Chris Rental. So you claim that me a criminal.
Rumors them spreading.
Claim that I sense in me planting. But I'm an adi dani nadi juggling. I feel rumors of war. Rumors of war. Just a nice of the place. Find no flicker and red of them face. Make man and man have money to spend. And all the youth them know me and them friend.
I rumors them spreading.
Claim that I sense in me planting. But I'm an adi dani nadi juggling.
Rumors of war.
A pure rumors of war.
Rumors them spreading. Sense in me planting.
Cure.
Gregory Isaacs with Rumours. It's funny how rumours spread when you put them on the BBC, isn't it? Just want to mention now, cheekily, quickly, been playing a load of the bedding music. That's Johnny Lyons' music, his band, Concrete Youth. His album Concrete Roots has just dropped. You can get it on soundcloud.com/Concrete Roots. This one is Midnight Meditation. I want to jam over this with the guitar, electric guitar, loads of effects and all that stuff, you know. That's the kind of feeling. I've just smoked a bong here as well, so you know how I'm just imagining stuff right now. I bet you guys at home like listening to some music you can talk over. You get all sorts of things going on in the back of your head. I've been talking to my mate Rob Skies. He's been listening to the King Crimson. He introduced me to, is it Splongle? Great, weird, trippy instrumental music that just sort of develops every 2 minutes. It's tripped my mind, man! We smoked a bowl and we were just listening to it and like talking over the internet. But there's the phone, so we're gonna listen to this one to see who's calling. Maybe it's Clark. Okay, we're going to pick up a new story now. It's 420, so happy 420 out there if you're listening. Me and Johnny Lyon are toking away. So this one is the Northern Echo. It caught me by surprise very early this morning. Drug workers last night issued an urgent warning after tests revealed batches of cannabis and legal highs circulating a northeast town have been contaminated with a potentially deadly crystal meth. A drug treatment service in Darlington raised the alarm after a number of its users tested positive for the substance, a highly addictive Class A drug linked to psychosis, brain damage, strokes and death. Those tested believed they had only taken cannabis or legal highs, and drug workers fear the contamination is a deliberate attempt to introduce crystal meth into the area. David Gardner, Children's and Young Persons Manager at Darlington Borough Council's Drug and Alcohol Action Team, that's a mouthful, said last night there has been a small but significant number of incidents where tests showed that people who believed they had only used cannabis had other drugs in their systems. More than one? That's some higher operating level right there. This has been followed by a number of people testing positive for methamphetamine, crystal meth, after taking legal highs. It is believed that batches of legal drugs with the street names of Jolly Green Granules, Bubbles and Blue Balls may have been contaminated. The drug and alcohol action team is now attempting to establish the scope of the problem, which is described as completely new to the area. I wasn't laughing at the severity of this problem. I was laughing at the fact that they were called Jolly Green Granules, Bubble and Blue Balls. Mr. Gardner said, "It is speculation at the moment, but all those tested said they had sourced the substances locally. It looks like the problem could be linked to a local dealer. This suggests that the drugs may have been cut in a deliberate attempt to introduce the drug in the area, or, you know, just to get people hooked, and then they realise on, or don't realise on crystal meth, they just keep going and buying whatever it is they're buying. The drugs users who tested positive for crystal meth were unaware they had taken it. Mr. Gardner said the most worrying fact that it was a genuine surprise to those people that there was something else in there." This article says about the same thing five times. That was a really good bowl. This suggests that contamination was not immediately apparent and proves that when you are buying illegal drugs, you can never know exactly what you're getting. Use of crystal meth is widespread in the US and Australia, but now on the increase in England. Users can face up to 7 years in jail and an unlimited fine, while dealers can be jailed for life. Yeah, so someone's addicted to a deadly substance. Let's throw them in jail for 7 years. That's going to help them. Let's fine them all the money they don't have. Yeah, yeah, we're winning. Yeah, winning the war on drugs, man. Fucking idiots. And dealers can be jailed for life. Well, there's no surprise there. The Drug and Alcohol Action Team is working with police and is reassuring the public that the presence of crystal meth is unusual for the area. Anyone who believes that they may have been affected by the contaminated drug should contact their GP if they feel unwell, and he will probably prescribe you antidepressants. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. It says, for more for confidential drugs advice, call Drugs Charity Frank on 0800 776600. I didn't think they were a drugs charity. I thought they were an independent. They were a government-funded drugs advice service. So, charity? Is that a breach of the word there? I don't know. Anyway, I thought I would call Frank on 0800 776600.
Hi, you're through to Frank about drugs. How can I help?
Hiya, I've just read an article online saying that there's, like, cannabis contaminated with, meth. Is that true?
That's not anything that we've been told here.
All right, because it gave you a number on the article to go and, like, to talk to you, just to see if there's anything, like, that you could give advice about. That's
Where
quite
was the
worrying.
Article?
It was on, the northernecho.co.uk.
Okay. Like I say, I'm not aware of anything. That's the Middlesbrough Northern Echo.
I don't know.
Oh, right, I see, yeah. I've just gone on the Northern Echo website. Right, we haven't been told about that.
All right, because it literally finishes off saying, leaving your number, saying people should call up for your, confidential advice.
Right, yeah. That we can give general advice, I mean, crystal meth is an extremely uncommon substance in this country. It's more common in America and in Australia and New Zealand. It's not something we come across very often here. But, I mean, are you concerned that you might have come across some of this batch of cannabis?
Not particularly myself, but I know a lot of people around the country that use cannabis, and it does worry me that this, especially like people that use it for medicinal purposes, it really worries me that people could be putting something in their body that, you know, could potentially kill them without knowing it.
Yeah. When you buy any illegal substance, you can't be sure what you're getting. But for something to be spiked with crystal meth, that's kind of a deliberate thing, generally, because, like I say, crystal meth is an unusual substance in this country at the moment.
Do you think people might be putting it on there to get people more addicted to it or something?
Well, that's certainly what the article's suggesting, isn't it? And it may well be. And I think if you're a cannabis user and you're using the leaf stuff, it's the kind of thing that you might well notice, to be honest, in amongst your cannabis. You know, they don't look similar.
Mm-hmm. So it does actually look like, you reckon there would be a sort of like a distinguished look to the cannabis if it as being like sprinkled or sprayed or something?
You would hope so, but like I say, with substances, you can never know what you're getting, and if they have just sprayed it onto the leaves, that would make it harder to detect. You would hopefully notice some differences when you actually use the substance as well. I mean, crystal meth is an extremely powerful drug. It's not something that you would take and not know you'd had it.
Yeah, well, that's just like the article even says, like, people like weren't aware they'd taken any other substance, like when they went to, like, they've obviously gone to like get help because something's not been right. I mean, plenty of people use cannabis every day and don't go and get help for it straight away, do they? So it obviously seems like they weren't aware that it was on there in the first place, and then obviously have found out at a later stage when they've been tested by the service. So
they must have been taking a very small amount. I mean, crystal meth is an extremely powerful stimulant, so it's completely different to cannabis. It causes agitation, paranoia, confusion. It can make people very violent. It can stop you sleeping. So
not quite the things that cannabis does then.
Sorry?
Not quite the things that cannabis does then.
No,
it usually helps you sleep,
not really.
It?
I think it's much more likely that people who use the so-called legal highs could find that they're being contaminated with it, because they tend to be stimulants anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tend to be the kind of more like an ecstasy or a speed kind of stimulant.
Yeah.
So if a bit of crystal meth was in there, you might not necessarily notice.
But it can be like a lot more addictive than any of these sort of like analog drugs, can't it?
Yeah, it's extremely addictive, yeah. And it does cause some different effects as well. It is very closely linked with violence, and it's very closely linked with other risk-taking behaviour, especially sexual promiscuity.
Do you think there's a risk that people are going to get a sort of like a worse image of like cannabis and sort of legal highs if this sort of thing continues? There's more harm coming from contaminated substances on the market rather than what the actual substances people think they're buying are going to do to them.
Well, I mean, drugs are always contaminated, you know, I mean,
not if they're sold in a regulated market. I mean, you don't go and buy or get your sort of codeine prescription from your doctor and that's not contaminated,
no,
is it?
No, but illegal substances, you never know what you're getting. I mean, if you buy something from, you know, a head shop or somewhere like that that's supposed to be a legal high, the chances are it's got something illegal in it when it comes to be tested. And speed is only something like 15% pure. The general speed cocaine, you're lucky if you get 30% pure.
Do you think this is just more sort of like more of a call and evidence for regulation then? I mean, if people can buy things and know exactly what's in it, if there's like a set standard, like this is what's like, and they know where the cannabis is grown, for example, Do you not think that would be a lot more sensible, a lot safer for people who are going and want to use cannabis? I mean, prohibition doesn't seem to be stopping people from going out and buying it, otherwise...
It doesn't, no. This
wouldn't
but
happen.
I think people need to be aware of the health implications of using these substances. You know, I mean, cannabis is not a risk-free drug. It's not... It's an addictive substance.
I wouldn't go that far as saying it's an addictive substance.
It's about 10% of people who use it will develop an addiction. So it's not universally
coffee,
addictive,
it?
But about 10% of people will develop a serious problem with it. You know, I mean, we speak to people like that every day who are really struggling with it, basically, that, you know, it's wrecking their lives. So, you know, if you want to have a debate about legalisation or regulation or whatever, then probably your MP is the best place to start.
Yeah, I've spoken to my MP and he doesn't seem to be too interested in that, unfortunately. I mean, I've got Crohn's disease. I have to use cannabis as my medicine. It's the only thing that works for me. I've tried to get a Sativex prescription, the cannabis mouth spray.
They won't
prescribe that to me because it's too expensive, apparently, like £11 a day. Yeah, it costs me, you know, between £20 and £40 a day if I had to buy it on the cannabis on the street to self medicate. I'm stuck in an awful position, really. Like, and I'm now I know a lot of patients around the UK that have got that do have to rely on buying their medicine from the street, from the black market, and there's a risk that they're going to be buying some sort of deadly cannabis, and cannabis isn't deadly.
No. It causes some problems, but yeah.
Not to everyone. This is the point, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
To save those 10% of people.
There's a medication in California, for example, isn't it?
Yeah, I've used to be out in America. I spent 6 months there last year. I got to sort of like work and experience the legal regulation for medical marijuana. I lost 2 stone of weight before I went out there, and I managed to put that back on in 3 months. It only took me 3 weeks to lose it before I went out there. But, you know, I was able to climb mountains and work and do things that I'd never, you know, not been able to do for a really long time, like get out of bed and walk, for example.
So it had a major effect.
Yeah, and like coming back to the UK, though, I've lost half of that weight again. I'm in a lot more pain, and it's a lot harder to find a job that I can do because I can't get out so much.
Yeah. So your MP isn't interested in talking about sort of regulation of cannabis. Have you spoken to your MP about the fact you can't get Sativex?
Yeah.
And what does your MP say about that?
He said there wasn't really much more he could do about it. I mean, I've had exchanges with government health ministers.
Right.
And they just tell me that cannabis is extremely toxic and harmful. Yet I go and meet with GW Pharmaceuticals and they tell me that there's no evidence that cannabis causes any mental health problems or cognitive functions, and it is a complete opposite of what the government are saying, yet the GW Pharmaceuticals have been the ones growing it since 1998 legally, you know, with the government's permission.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are sort of like essentially paying tax to do tests on cannabis, telling the results, and the government are lying to the public again. I mean, if you ask me, as someone who's used cannabis in sort of like a prohibition market and someone who's used it in a legal market and someone who uses it and lives like it's legal, as if it's, you know, as if I'm not going to get in trouble for it because I shouldn't have to live like that.
Yeah.
I find it, I don't have any negative side effects living this way rather than living, having to hide it, getting worried that people are going to catch me, people are going to find out, people are going to think wrong, horrible things about me. That causes a lot more harm to people psychologically, socially, even, you know, within their families and friends. That's a problem of prohibition rather than just using cannabis, if you ask me. I reckon if you removed the prohibition, you would remove a lot of the problems that are associated with cannabis and any drug taking.
Yeah.
People having a bad stigma and alienating people because they use a substance. Eat like cannabis, which is normal. Let's face it, a lot of people in the UK use cannabis on a daily basis.
If
they're made to feel bad about it,
though. A lot of people who are having very serious problems with it.
Pardon?
I mean, if you have a look at, are you online?
I am online.
If you just put cannabis and mental health into Google,
mm-hmm.
The first thing that comes up is a Royal College of Psychiatrists leaflet. Now, I appreciate that they have a particular bias, point of view, whatever. But that's quite an interesting leaflet, talking about some of the potential harms, you know. And it just gives a little bit of the background, you know. It has been linked with mental health problems.
Under prohibition,
down to what you're smoking, to be honest.
Pardon?
I say, I think a lot of it comes down to the particular types that you're smoking.
Yeah, and then that goes down to the lack of regulation. Like, if I can go into a dispensary in California and see what cannabinoid content, so how much THC, how much CBD it's all got on it, and what terpenes, who grew it, if it was grown organically, if it had fertilisers on it, if it had any pesticides. I know all that information. I know how safe it is for me. I know which ones suit my use, and you can talk to someone who actually knows what they're talking about cannabis rather than sort of like a 16-year-old going up to a dealer on the street and just giving him a 20 quid note. It's just going to get anything. It could be mouldy, could be covered in meth, you know.
basically.
If you type in cannabis and mental health online, actually, on Google, you get the Kiel University study, which showed that you'd have to prevent 7,500 people from using cannabis just to stop one person possibly having a negative side effect. I mean, that was that study, 600,000 people. It's the largest study ever done on mental health and cannabis. And the result was there's no correlation between mental health and schizophrenia and cannabis use, especially in the period that they analysed it, where cannabis use had gone up between 1990 and 2005. Schizophrenic actually was stable or declining in that period, yet cannabis use went up. So that's just more, to me, a bit more evidence that there's less incidences of psychosis with people that use cannabis. Certainly around the world, they have nowhere near amount as reefer madness, sort of like scaremongering in the media about mental health and schizophrenia and psychosis. It's kind of isolated to this part of the UK, and you rarely hear stories about it anywhere else.
I think I take your point, but you know, one of the things that we tend to hear here isn't around actual mental health diagnosis of things like schizophrenia. It's more things like lack of motivation, people dropping out, especially young people. You know, it's other kinds of harm.
Do you think? See, that's social harm though. That's the problem with that though, is that there's no real way for people to get good advice and education about their consumption of cannabis. Like, if it's just left to, you know, they're able to just go and get it from the street, you can buy an ounce for a couple of hundred quid, you can just sit there and smoke it if you want. Yeah, you're not going to die from it. If you decide that that's the only thing you want to do, then surely that's your lack of motivation. I mean, I smoke an ounce a week of the highest grade, I guess you guys would term it as skunk, because that's what works best for me. I get up, I'm calling you now, I write numerous articles on a week, on a website, I edit videos, I go out and travel the country, interviewing people quite a lot, but I don't get a lack of motivation. In fact, most people I speak to, because I surround myself with people similar to me and who I like, they are educated, they got university degrees, I know plenty of doctors, lawyers, and
to put it the other side,
that they use cannabis,
speak to
it's
a
safer.
Lot of young people who are really struggling with it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I guess we can argue this backwards and forwards, but you know, the fact is that we speak to lots of people who are struggling.
Do you think if they could have advice and be able to get hold of a variety that didn't make them feel so less motivated? Because I'll admit, I've smoked some cannabis in my time that's made me want to just sit down and watch TV. If they were able to use a variety of cannabis that didn't make them feel like that and get it from a safe, you know, safer marketplace, do you not think that would be better off than leaving it the way it is, where people are potentially getting hold of dodgy cannabis or legal highs or whatever their choice is, and possibly dying from it and getting arrested for it?
Most people that we speak to just don't want to do it. They've had enough. They feel that it's become such a huge problem for them that they don't want to do it anymore.
What
and
about
they want
stopping,
help and support.
What about stopping it before that happens? Like, if people have got
better advice about drug taking and drug use, wouldn't that be better than just saying, don't do it, you'll go mental, or letting them get to the stage where they have a problem?
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, if young people phone us, that's not the message we give. The message that we would give is all about a general education. It's you know, this is what the good effects are. We don't hide those. You know, you will feel relaxed. You might feel happier. You might, you know, be able to have a good time with your mates. But we also give the downside as well. So I think the education is out there. It's maybe not out there enough for young people, or, you know, it's maybe not delivered in the right way. You know, kids who are disengaged with school are not going to be too pleased about having to sit and listen to the teacher tell them about cannabis. So, you know,
Do you think we need to be a little bit more open about talking about it, publicly, and have more of an open debate on the drugs issue?
I think that probably, yeah, does need to happen. But like I say, we are a government-funded helpline. So, you know, we toe the government line. And certainly from experience, you know, we do hear the bad things about it anyway. But we do try and give a balanced view. And a harm reduction view as well. If someone tells us that they are determined to keep using it and, you know, they don't want to give up, we will say, well, okay, using a bong is safer than rolling it with tobacco.
Thank you. Great. Yeah, good advice there.
You know, if you're smoking tobacco as well, obviously that's much higher harms, and it makes it more difficult to give up because you've got the nicotine to deal with. So, you know, like I say, we are a government helpline, so that's our constraint.
Yeah, all right, thank you very much. You've been very helpful. I'm glad you're aware that there's some contaminated cannabis and legal highs out there
now. Thank you for telling us about that, and I'll pass it on to my colleagues who are on today as well.
No problem. Thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Okay, thanks.
Cheers.
For calling.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, welcome back. We're joined by Clark French. It was him on the phone. So how you doing, Clark? It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm excellent.
Awesome.
I was pretty disappointed we didn't actually get to see you talk on the BBC Free Free Speech.
I know, tell me about it. I was extremely disappointed by that. I generally had hope that I was going to get to give my story and hopefully get it out to a bigger audience, but obviously not.
So, what happened? I mean, like, did they contact you and ask?
Yeah, the assistant producer, Charlotte, contacted me, asking me to come on the show. She wanted to know a little bit about me and about my views on drugs, because the debate was centred on legalising drugs as a general overview, not on cannabis or cannabis as medicine specifically. But, it was implied that I would definitely get to have my say, and it was even implied just before we went live on air, like, that I would be getting my say. So, I guess I just ran out of time. I guess people just spoke too much and they didn't get to me. But I found it quite interesting that they did go to the kind of negative portrayal before the positive, and then there wasn't time for the positive, so yeah.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit, it seemed very one-sided from my point of view, and you had your hand up the whole way through.
Yeah, I think my arm is still a little achy from it, still, like... The whole time, I should have said to them, really, I should have said, you know, look, I can't really hold my hand up for that long. I didn't, so I guess that's my own fault, but they didn't know that, so I can't blame them for it. But, yeah, my arm is aching.
Yeah, do you think it would be a little bit, you know, they just need to be a little bit more sensitive about inviting someone with an illness that does take a lot out of you to travel?
Yeah, they didn't really take that into consideration at all. I was staying down in Devon with Chris Bovey of potseeds.co.uk and Indigo Hawker, medicinal cannabis patient who also has MS, and I travelled 2-hour drive all the way up there and then back again, and yeah, you know, that takes it out of me, it really does. So it did seem like, I don't know, it was quite disappointing that I went to all that effort, which, you know, does for me, that is, you know, quite a lot of effort, more than it would take a normal person, I guess. And then I didn't even get to say anything. So, but I don't know. I learned a lot from it. I learned what the BBC is like, and I learned that I need to be probably a bit more assertive. Actually, I think maybe if I just stood up and shouted, they probably would have listened to me. But I guess I'm slightly reserved and British like that, and need to be more American, don't I?
Well, I don't know if it's more American. You need to be a little bit like the soul brother near you.
He
got a bit of attention and got his point. Well, I don't know.
I don't think he did get his point across.
He tried to get his point across, but yeah.
He had a great point. I really think he had a great point, but I think he put it across completely the wrong way and came across like an idiot.
Fair enough.
I hope he's not listening.
You're right there in the studio. No. We like the truth. So. UK CSEs, we've got another meeting going on. Can you tell us a little bit what's been going on with the Berkshire one first?
The Berkshire UK cannabis community has had our first meeting, which yourself came to speak at. Mm-hmm. It was really good, as you well know, but for this next one we've booked the bigger room because we actually had too many people for the size of room that we booked last time, so that was a very, very encouraging sign, and this time round, we are hitting Berkshire dealers with a business card with the next meeting on. Obviously, we're going for the kind of low-level dealers that won't really care and want to help the cause, but it's all a way, we thought of this as a way to kind of get to the cannabis community, because people who use cannabis, because of prohibition, always need a dealer. So if we can get the dealers on side and get them handing out our material, then we've got a massive audience that a massive untapped audience of people that we possibly don't know in real life.
So these guys are...
That will make a big impact and we'll be able to even fill out the bigger room.
These guys are putting themselves out of business, but at the same time, they know that they'd be able to grow their own herb at home and facilitate their own needs and not, you know, that's where they save the money. Because a lot of these people, they're just buying an ounce or two and then selling bits on the side so they can afford their own smoke. If they were able to...
Well, I think that most low-level dealers, I think that probably is the case.
Yeah, so if they were able to, like, grow their own, like we all want to do, which is, I'm sure, you know, just as much risk, really, as doing that kind of low-level dealing, and then it's all good that they're on our side. That's a really great idea to get out to the rest of the community, and it should be able to reach quite a broad scale. We already know how many people toke and how many people go and buy, you know, a 20 bag a couple of times a week or whatever. So what is the quality of medicine you're getting in Reading at the moment?
Well, the quality varies. You know, it varies a lot. Sometimes you can get some really nice, quite generally decent medicine, which is effective, which is fairly well grown and is, you know, good, but then that's quite a rarity, to be honest. Most of the time, it's untrimmed, uncured, still wet, still damp, keeping it, and you lose maybe a third of the weight just in it drying. It's also very expensive. Like, I don't do this because I can't afford it, but I know people who buy 20 bags off their local dealers and they're getting 1.2s.
I bet
1.2 grams for £20.
It's wet and it's got a big stalk on it and it's just covered in leaves.
Oh yeah, the stalk, there's leaves, you know, it's not, and that's exactly, if it was 1.2 of like nice, dried, amazing bud, then like that's still a rip-off, but it's not even that. No?
Yeah, well, that if it was a decent, if it was high-grade standard, medicinal quality, that £20 for 1.2 grams, that's about your Dutch coffee shop price there, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, the high-grade in Holland is definitely, last time I went, it's definitely hit the roof in terms of price. But then again, you know, at least in Holland they have the choice, you know, if you can't afford that £20 for your 1.2 grams, you could just go to a small coffee shop, get some Thai for €5 for a gram, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's that choice there.
Yeah, completely.
Which does make a big difference. And of course, like, you know, although I now I've been to California, I definitely have issues with the quality of cannabis in Amsterdam. It's still definitely better hit than here, because they have a more so system which is kind of regulated by the coffee shops, because, you know, the coffee shops want the good stuff.
Yeah.
They want the best, so therefore the growers are more likely to do, even though obviously it's still in the black market and that's not the greatest of situations, there is some sort of check and balance there because of the coffee,
You have had a chance to sample some pretty good medicine over here, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you do know it's about. You do know people can grow well, but
yeah,
they're
people
not,
can definitely grow well.
They're
in
not
the, UK.
The people
I think the UK
selling
probably
it.
Got some of the best growers. It's just, you know, all their stuff goes to people who I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that's not the stuff that's on the market, is it? That's not the stuff that's available for patients.
They keep it in their own circles generally, I think, because you know why wouldn't you? If you've got the best cannabis, then you know.
Yep. Well, we are going up to the
Worcester.
West Midlands, to Worcester, yeah. We are going to the West Midlands Cannabis Community's first local meeting.
Which I'm well excited about, actually.
Yeah, it's going to be a good talk. It's at the University of Worcester in the Irwin Lecture Theatre at 7:30 on Friday the 25th. Clark's going to be there, I'm going to be there. Richard Smith is going to be there from West Midlands Cannabis Community and Wales Cannabis Club. He's. I just uploaded a video to Cannabis Cure TV of him speaking on the BBC in the studio. He was invited in to respond to the BBC's questions about the release, saying that they should decriminalise growing for under 12 plants, and it should be like a parking ticket fine. I don't personally think anyone should be fined for growing cannabis. It's a plant, you know. It's
I agree.
It's not harming police when they raid your homes. They're breaching the peace. Not people who are growing cannabis. You always hear the reports, well, we didn't know it was going on in the street. That just shows you how damaging and effective, you know, affecting it is to the community. No.
It doesn't affect the community
like
at all,
you say,
it's generally done in behind closed doors, you know.
Yeah, people keep it to themselves.
There's carbon filters for a reason.
Yep. well, I've definitely walked past some houses that haven't been using carbon filters. It's, I don't know how they're surviving. But anyway, Richard did a really good job up there. It would be good if we go up there. And he's also tried to get us a spot on BBC Radio as
he
well.
He has got us a spot.
He has actually got it, has he?
Yeah, he
cool.
has, yeah.
Excellent. All right, then. Well, we we'll upload the video of that as well. It'll be a good experience for us. So we want to invite everyone who's in the Worcester or West Midlands or Birmingham, those kind of areas, to get down to University of Worcester on Friday night. It's going to be a good talk. What are you going to be talking about, Clark?
I'm going to be just giving my usual spiel about cannabis as medicine, my personal story with MS and how much it has affected my life for the better, and just a little bit about GW Pharmaceuticals and the fact that the government licenses a pharmaceutical company to grow lots and lots and lots of lovely cannabis. But then if you or I were to do it, we'd, you know, have our doors raided. We could have our doors knocked down, police coming in, our privacy, you know, destroyed, and it's just wrong, really. So, just going to be talking a little bit about that.
I took a bong hit to that, mate.
I think that's the plan.
Yep. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it, too. I want to talk a little bit about the different ways cannabis is regulated in the UK. Not in the UK. Well, it is regulated to an extent. Yeah, different places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The way their laws are, the way they've actually got to that stage of regulation or tolerance or decriminalisation. It didn't just happen overnight. It didn't just...
No.
The Prime Minister didn't just wake up.
We really need to be clear on... sorry to use that word, but I needed to
be aware about.
We need to be focused on getting activism happening in local areas, getting people involved, because the only reason, if anywhere where there is any sort of regulation, medicinal use, decriminalisation, generally it's because activists have made it happen. Activists have stood up and gone, we're not having this anymore, we need things to change. So, you know, this is basically, we're so far behind in the UK, and I think it's a lot to do with the fact that we haven't had a real coherent centre and base for activism to happen, but not just like focused on the national level, but also focused on
the local and
community level. But you know, it's not going to happen unless we start to speak to the non-smokers on a personal level. And I think that we really need to arm people with the knowledge to be able to do this, to be able to have an effective argument, to be able to change people's minds. Because until we start doing that, I don't think anything is really going to change.
It's not just about like people complain about singing to the choir a bit, don't they? But in a sense, we've got to educate our own, you know, our own little army. You know, our foot,
exactly.
our feet on the street.
You don't just, you know, if you, in war, with no training. You know, you train them, you give them the right weapons to use to be effective. Like, you know, this isn't a war with guns or with tanks or with, you know, airstrikes. This is a war of words. This is a war of people. And we need to arm our people, our warriors, with the right ammunition, with the correct weapons to get this through, to win, basically. We need to win.
Do you think the UKCSC is a good way to do that on a local level?
I think the UKCSC is a great way to do that on a local level, and I think that Normal UK is a great way to do it on a national level, and I think, personally, this is, you know, probably the best time to ever get involved in activism, because if you get involved at the moment, your say actually really matters, like...
Yeah, you've got quite a lot of places to have your say. There's a cannabis support network. There's the UKCSC. So
Students for Sensible Drug Policy.
Exactly. If you are in, you know, sort of like anywhere, any place, you have got a say. If you want to talk with Normal, National Organisation for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or a US organisation that have been around for 40 years. I've spoken a lot about them. I've done a lot of work with them over the last few years, and we've got that in the UK now. Should we just give a run through of who's in Normal UK for everyone? So we've got Chris Bovey, who is potseeds.co.uk. We've got Sanj Chowdhury, he's going to be our political director. We've got Tina Mendez and Des Humphreys, they are our medical campaign directors. Clark, you're going to be doing fundraising, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. So if anyone wants to give us some money, then that'll be awesome.
There'll be options for people to join soon. I'm going to be doing the community and membership with the outreach as outreach director. Who else am I forgetting? This is terrible.
There's so many people. You're forgetting Sarah McClure.
Sarah McCulloch is...
Sarah.
Our secretary... Dan Naylor, Katie Iron, Mike Livesley, Orson Boone, Kit. I haven't. What's Kit's surname? I'm terrible.
I don't even know. Does she even have it on?
Kit Wood. Is it Kit? I think that's it. I think I've got everyone covered there. But we've got a whole group of people that are dedicated to this, and. It's time for change in England. It's time for change in Britain, the United Kingdom. Sorry, not just England. But,
yeah, don't forget the Scots on this one.
No, well...
Or the Welsh. We can't definitely forget Des.
I got worried the other day, because everyone seems to be fighting for their independence. Like,
yeah.
Scottish independence, Belgian independence, so... UK.
I reckon what will happen, Greg, is the Welsh and the Scottish will get independence, end prohibition, and we'll still just be in England. Everything will be rubbish. We'll be like, oh, I wish we were Welsh, and then, yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, I think this is a good time to finish the show. We'd just extend that invitation out to everyone again for the West Midlands Cannabis Community's first meeting at Worcester University on the 25th of this month. That's 25th of May, that's on Friday, 7:30, for a couple of hours. Come along, Clark's going to be there, I'm going to be there, we're going to talk about California and Denver and Washington, Oregon, and the cannabis culture in the UK, in America, Holland, decriminalisation in different parts of the world, and how we're going to get it here. We're going to talk about GW Pharmaceuticals, we're going to talk about Normal UK and the UK CSCs, and we couldn't be more excited about it. So please check out the latest videos on Cannabis Cure TV, the interviews with Richard on the BBC. If you want to hear that video of Frank again, you don't want to listen through all the podcast, go and check it out on Cannabis Cure TV, and check out Clark's article on cannabiscure.co.uk. So that's bye from me, Greg, and bye from Clark.
On a very final note,
go for
it. I'd like to say that I am, as director of fundraising for Normal UK, I'm now putting together a fundraising team. So if anyone wants to get involved and help out with that, then get in contact with me. I think that fundraising is probably one of the most important things that we're doing, because without any money, there's no way we can put out any material. There's no way that we can, you know, we want to get up billboards, we want to change things, and we need money. money, so money is essential. So if anyone wants to help out, please get in contact with me and we'll change the world.
Yeah, we definitely will. Normal UK seeks to gain recognition for the rights of people to peacefully pursue activities relating to cannabis without unwarranted intervention by the authorities. We'll catch you later, guys. Peace out.
Take it easy.
Cannabis.
Cure UK. Cure UK. Cannabis.